day. A blessed and good morning to everyone. This is the Because He Lives program for Sunday, the 22nd of October. And today we are going to be honing in on the gift of tongues, a very popular but also a very controversial gift. And here to shed light on this spiritual gift is an esteemed panel. They would have been the panel for our panel discussion, which was held on the 16th. And with us also the Reverend Marina Taylor, the assistant pastor at Whitehall Church of the Nazarene, and yours truly, Minister Darren Burke. I want to say that this wonderful program has been brought to you compliments of Federal Motor Spirits and the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District. Let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for yet another day that you have granted unto us. Help us to rejoice and be glad in it, and to have great gratitude for your goodness to us and our families once again. Lord, as we go into this discourse with the aspect of speaking in tongues, I pray, dear God, for great clarity, that as the knowledge of your word goes forth, it would help, dear God, the body of Christ to properly understand the spiritual gifts, speaking in tongues, and being able to exercise our gifts in a way where the body of Christ can grow in a healthy manner. And I pray, dear God, that you will bless this forum with great knowledge, great insight, so that all will be blessed. Clarity will be brought about and proper order will come about in the body of Christ. Bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. One announcement. The Eversley Foundation is going to have an evening with the Eversleys. It's going to be held on November the 5th. At the Western Lake Church of the Nazarene, featuring the band of the Barbados Police Service and the 11-year-old Chelsea. Tickets will be available at the Church of the Nazarene office. Adults $30, children $15. Tickets are also available at Things Gospel at Warren's CS Pharmacy. Yes. And I'm now going to hand over to Reverend Marina Taylor, who is going to introduced our esteemed panel this morning and start proceedings. Good morning to everyone. Good morning to Reverend Taylor.
Good morning, Minister Burke. And good morning to those of you who will be hearing us today over the airwaves. Over the last few weeks, we have been sharing in brief on the gifts of the Spirit. But today, we are going to be sharing on a topic that has seemed to have caused a lot of misunderstanding among believers and many other persons. Some people believe that speaking in tongues is the main evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Over the years, we have realized that that is not true. However, I have with me three of our pastors, Reverend Caswell Jemmott, who is the senior pastor at the Western Light Church of the Nazarene, Reverend Anderson Kelman, who is the senior pastor at the Bank Hall Church of the Nazarene, and last but certainly not least, Pastor Patrina St. Hale, pastor of the Rock Hall Church of the Nazarene. And today, it gives me great pleasure to have you to share with us on the gift of tongues. Thank you, gentlemen and lady.
A very pleasant good morning to all, and I trust you enjoy your Sunday morning. And the Reverend Anderson Kelvin, and I want to follow on from what Reverend Marina would have said with reference to tongues not being the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we believe that Galatians chapter 5 and verse 23 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and I believe that any discussion on the gifts of the Spirit and tongues in particular must be rooted in the whole idea of the fruit of the Spirit in terms of love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We believe that every believer should manifest the fruit of the Spirit as the evidence of being filled with God's Holy Spirit, but that different believers would be given by that same Spirit different gifts or a gift for the edification and for the building up of the body. And so that brings me to the whole issue of the specific gift of speaking in tongues, which is for the building up of the entire body. And that having been said, I would also want to suggest that tongues need to be understood in the context of being able to edify, meaning that if someone speaks in tongues according to scripture, then there should be someone to also interpret those tongues so that the body can benefit from the whole exercise of that gift. So 1 Corinthians 12, right through to 14, will give us the sense that Paul has a special leaning toward the gift of tongues. And of course, that would speak to the issue that will be raised, I'm sure, in this discussion, that of cessation of gifts. But it's evident to me that Paul is saying to us that the activity of speaking in tongues is still very much a part of the church, but there has to be rules which will govern and determine how that gift is dealt with in the church. And so, as I said before, there should be the issue of interpretation in terms of the exercise of that gift. The other thing which we want to say as well is that tongue speaking has to be more than just simply that of a known language. And I'm going to be very brief here because I want to give you the chance to kind of jump in here. Some churches believe that the issue of tongues is really about speaking a known language. But if that is the case, then Paul would not have talked about the gift of interpretation of tongues. So it would seem to me as though that tongue speaking is both the speaking of a known language as well as the speaking of a language, which has also to be interpreted in the context where it is spoken. And so I want to leave that with you. The gift of tongues is still a gift for the church today. But when it says the public arena, then it has to be an interpretation so that the body can benefit from it.
Blessed good morning to those who are listening to us. I am Pastor Petrina St. Hill from the Rock Hall Church of the Nazarene. I greet you, and I'm basically following off of what my colleague would have discussed not too long ago regarding the gift of tongues within the church. And I want to actually go a little bit further regarding the whole concept of the gift of tongues for personal edification. Now, we have to note that at the end of the day, within the service, says there has to be a balance. There has to be a balance because God is not the author of confusion. And therefore, when we look at tongues within our personal context, we are looking at the whole concept of us being in a place where we are communing with God. Now, the thing about it is that we have to ask the question, if every single person has that gift of tongues, and Paul essentially within himself, he said, do all speak in tongues or do all prophesy? Ultimately, if the Holy Spirit gives tongues according to who he so desires, it is higher possibility that not everyone has the gift of tongues. However, if God has given you that gift within your own personal time, it is key that it is exercised and you are in a place where you are communing with God. You're in a place where you're building up yourself in the most holy faith. You're in a place where you utter the mysteries of the Spirit whereby God himself can understand. So ultimately, you know, we have to make that distinction in between there that, you know, the gift of tongues is one that God himself would have given to us, and we need to realize that it has to be utilized because he has given it. It is not a gift for us to be in a place where it is not used, because God has given every gift for it to be used, and therefore we have the opportunity, or we have the obligation rather, to utilize the gift.
Hello, good morning. I am Reverend Caswell Jemma, and I want to hone in basically on the area of whether or not everyone speaks in tongues, because I believe that this is one of the primary areas of confusion within the body of Christ. But if we look at what Paul has to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verses 12 to 26 about the body, if we understand what he is saying there, then I don't think that we should have a question as to whether everybody speaks in tongues. Because what Paul says there is that all the parts of the body are not the same. And because all the parts of the body are not the same, then it is highly unlikely that every part of the body will be doing one function. If the whole body consists of one part, then it would be seriously lacking in the other areas that are vital for its function. And Paul is at pains in his epistles to show the church as a body with different parts. And he speaks of the body, especially in the context of spiritual gifts. Because right in this chapter, he spends time explaining about the body. He says all parts of the body are necessary and need each other. And it would mean then that there are different persons within the body of Christ who have or who possess different gifts. If all of us are part of the body, then we are some part of the body, and we are not all one single part, which is speaking in tongues. And he ends that chapter with a series of rhetorical questions about whether or not all speak in tongues or all are teachers. And the very construction of what he says would suggest that the expected answer is a resounding no. So he takes you through the concept of the body first, and then he says, well, if you understand this, when I ask, are all teachers, do all speak in tongues? He expects that there is a no answer. And so I believe that, yes, the gift of speaking in tongues is a part of what God gives to the church for its effective functioning, but it is not a gift that is given to each person. Just the whole discussion that Paul gives when he talks about the distribution, to one is given, to another is given, and he makes it very clear that not all persons have the same gift. And so that is probably where we need to start in terms of, you know, the discussion and maybe confusion about the gift of tongues. We are all a part of the body. We are not all one part. And so it will certainly mean that we will not all have the gift of speaking in tongues.
Yeah. I think we've really bastardized this tongues speaking issue, because it would seem to me, Reverend German and Pastor Petrina, that some persons use it as a barometer for one's spirituality, you know, and the more or the better you can speak in tongues, you know, you are deep spiritual. And I think that's what has created the hesitation for some churches, you know, to discuss the issue of tongues or even practice the gift of tongues because of how it kind of is projected and portrayed. And I would want to, you know, suggest that we need not to, you know, be afraid of tongues because of how it has been misused, but that we need to find the proper use of the gift and allow God's Holy Spirit to flow in our assemblies. Like I said before, it is not any indication of one's spirituality. It is just, as Reverend Casbus said, a gift that's given to some, and therefore it should be exercised accordingly.
I think what has happened too over the time is that people start to become afraid to use the gift. And we also have to understand that they need to be nurtured as well. There needs to be, you know, guidance as it relates to how to utilize these gifts. And, you know, so that persons will be able to not be afraid or not be ashamed, whereby if I speak in tongues, then automatically I am casted out, but rather so that we truly can be nurtured, so that we truly can grow in the gift, because ultimately every gift starts at the beginning, whereby you are become aware of it, you become knowing that, hey, this is what God has given to me, but ultimately you still have to grow and to know in what areas and also in what capacity God has given you the gift to be used.
I believe that this unregulated use of tongues and everybody speaking in tongues is something that the apostle was very stringent in terms of the regulations to deal with speaking in tongues, because it became a problem in Corinth. And so he writes with some correctives as to the regulation of speaking in tongues. It is a gift that is to be used for the edification of the body. But like every other gift, it needs to be exercised with care within the body. And so when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Apostle Paul speaks of the guidelines by which we should operate within the body of Christ. And yet, at the same time, we see so much of the contemporary church where we are not even following the scriptural guidelines for the practice of the gift of speaking in tongues. And so I believe that once we do pay attention and regulate the gift as the Word of God says, then it will start to eliminate some of the confusion. It will start to eliminate some of the fear in terms of speaking in tongues. So 1 Corinthians 14, unless there is interpretation of what the tongue speaker says, it is not going to profit the church. But he also makes sure that he tells us simply that when there are persons who are speaking in tongues, he says, not more than two or three at a time. And they should speak one at a time, not all together. He says someone must interpret, or else the tongue speaker needs to be quiet and speak to God. In verse 32, he says the gift is under the control of the one who is experiencing it. And so once we are able to follow these, the tongue speaking will benefit the church because there will be interpretation. And that interpretation then will be something that the body can benefit from, rather than simply the person speaking in tongues being able to speak to God and to be able to benefit from the gift personally. Gifts are for the edification and the building up of the body. So even though the gift of tongues has a private use and it can be used to edify the individual believer, Paul says that the gifts are for the edification of the body. And we must make sure that we do not take a gift that is expected to be used for the building up of the body to simply build up ourselves. That is one of the prevalent things in our contemporary Christianity now, where yes, persons are speaking in tongues, they are being edified, but the church is not being edified. And Paul also says very simply that if there is no interpretation in the gathered community of believers, he doesn't say that the gift is not valid. He doesn't say not to exercise the gift, but he says if there is no interpreter, well, then you speak to God, you are edified by the gift, you speak the mysteries. But again, once the body is not edified, then there is the instruction for the tongue speaker to control that gift, so that it does not cause confusion in the body, cause wandering in the body, because there is no interpretation, so that the body can benefit.
I think Reverend Kelsey just raised a very important point there, though, that the gift is under the control of the individual who has that gift. Because sometimes it will seem to me as though persons project a sense that they have no control, and sometimes they speak in tongues in a way that can cause mayhem. And I've experienced that in my own journey, where a tongue speaker actually caused a major disturbance in the area that that person was functioning in terms of the occupation. So it's a very important point to make. But also, let me say it as well, that tongue speaking is not just a phenomenon in the church. It was also a phenomenon in the pagan world as well. And so one has to be very, very careful that one is indeed speaking according to God's Holy Spirit and not some strange spirit as well. Pastor made the comment about the gift of tongues in terms of personal edification. And I think that there is room for that. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 says, if we speak in tongues of men and of angels, we can discuss that in different ways. But my simple point is that it seemed to suggest that there are two kinds of tongue speaking, okay? I know that we've given a lot of ventilation in different ways, but tongues of men, tongues of angels. And so there is that sense whereby someone might speak in tongues for their own edification, and that seems to be okay according to scripture. But as we said, the gifts are for the body principally, and therefore that's where the operation tends to occur.
Yes, and this is some wonderful discourse here by our esteemed panel here. Two questions. How do we go about educating our congregation on identifying their gifts and how they can use their gifts in the church? And two, And I think you touched on it briefly, Reverend Kelvin, in terms of the cessation of gifts. There have some people that are of the opinion that those gifts were only for the first century church and not for the 21st century church. What would you have to say in regards to that? But more importantly, how do we go about educating our congregation so that they'll be able to exercise their gift within the church? How are they supposed to go about doing it?
The whole process of discovering gifts is one that it is not just an individual journey, because part of the discovery of gifts will include the body, because they are the ones who will be able to examine a person's work and ministry in the church, and they will be able to tell. Because if this is your gift, one of the things that will happen as a result of that gift is that it will benefit the body. People will be able to see your work and effectiveness in a particular area. And I believe that in the church, many times our gifts are seen by others, even when we don't even know or we're not even sure what our gift is. Many times we decide to get involved in activities within the church. We're not thinking gifts. We're just thinking, I'm giving my time to help with whatever is going on in the ministry of the church. And in the process of being involved in ministry, then people begin to see the particular gifts that an individual may have. And they are the ones who then are able to confirm this ability that you have, so that you can now begin to start concentrating on working in that area of whatever gifting has been highlighted. But it does not simply mean that you don't do other things. Prayer to initiate the process of discovering what the gift is, then that is enlightened by your study. If people speak to you about a particular gift, well, then go find out, what does the Bible say about this gift and about persons who have this gift? Then examine your desires. What is it that you really want to do within the church? What area would you like to be involved in? What are the needs that you see within the church? And one of the things that I've discovered is that when people see needs within the church, very often those are the very areas that God has gifted them to work. Because sometimes they see the need in the area, they may see the need for the church to be more aggressive in terms of its evangelism. But there are other persons within the church who don't see that. They see, okay, we need to pay a closer attention to our fellowship, the teaching, discipling of our believers. And the reason why you see that particular area, it's very likely that God has gifted you to work in that area. And so it allows the body to be built up, different ministries in the church to be staffed by those who are, one, interested, who have a desire to work in that area, and who have seen how that ministry can be bettered by the use of particular gifts. But specifically, they are the ones who God has gifted. God has opened their eyes in a particular area because He wants and expects them to get involved in the areas of need which they see. So I believe that very often in the church, we talk about and we highlight areas of need in the church, but it is in those very areas that we need to understand that God has gifted us so that we can be a part of the solution to those areas of needs that we see in the church.
And let me also say as well that I think that if we want to look at the issue of the gifts and tongues in particular, then we are going to have to, as an institution, in terms of the Church of Nazarene, de-emphasize organization and emphasize organism. I think that sometimes, as a church, we are so focused on the structure of the organization and trying to establish, you know, this model that should fit into all churches. And I'm not against structure at all. What I'm saying is that we have to start to think about the actual life flow of the church, you know, the element of ministry, the responsiveness two and of the Spirit. You know, that's the organism dimension. The church is a living and dynamic reality, and therefore be able to respond to individual concerns and issues must become, you know, of paramount importance if you're going to be able to see the gifts being manifested in the body of Christ and the element of ministry. I mean, Rabbi Kelsen mentioned before, I think that has to become, you know, our charge or a challenge in that particular regard. Yeah? Structure important, but how do we interweave ministry in the context of structure? I mean, it doesn't exist in the original structure. Can we create opportunities for persons to minister in that specific way as well?
Hearing everything that was said, one thing that has came to me is the whole concept of encouragement and love, especially when we are dealing with spiritual gifts. It has to be grounded in love. Persons have to be encouraged to use their gift. They cannot be in an environment where they're feeling imprisoned when it comes to using their gifts. So therefore, each individual, yes, has the responsibility to utilize their gifts. And the pastor, the shepherd, he has the obligation also to guide. As the word of God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, and therefore we have to educate ourselves and therefore go and use and learn how to use our gifts.
Oh, wow. So much information, but we have come to the end of our program today. I want to thank all of you ministers who have come out this morning to share with our listening audience, and I trust that the information that has been shared will be of benefit to all those who would hear. We trust the Lord would provide another opportunity soon that we'll be able to meet again. So at this time, I would like to ask Sister Patrina to dismiss us with a word of prayer, please.
Father, this morning, O God, we honor you. We thank you. Father, this morning, we lift up your name, for you are good, O God, and your mercies, Lord, they endure forever. And God, even as we would have come here and we would have discussed, Lord, I pray, God, that what we would have discussed, Lord, would not fall upon deaf ears, Almighty God, but indeed it will be seed, O God, that has fallen upon good ground, O God, in the name of Jesus. Father, that therefore we can go forward, Lord God, that we can bear fruit within this denomination, O God, that we can bear fruit, O God, even within all the other denominations, Almighty God, that are tuning in, God, to this session today. Lord, I pray, God, it will be something of worth, Almighty God, that we can truly go away with and truly, Almighty God, be a part of the body of Christ that he has called us to be. So, Lord, everything is in your hands, O God, and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Because